Hey mama, welcome back to Holistic Moms. I'm your host, Shan Wright. I am so excited to bring you this conversation today. Yes, I have a special guest on the podcast today, and this guest is born and raised in California, lives with her four sons and husband in her ideal combination of city life and outdoor living, and she was also raised in a home that taught the Bible, table manners, and a love for the beach. And so she has been passing those ideals on to the next generation. She wants to live up to her God-given potential, and she wants to help her friends, family, readers, and clients too. Yes, she is an author, and she writes about gentle parenting, thriving marital relationships, and how to live a healthy lifestyle, all with practical and biblical truth. Her most cherished moments are when she is reading and praying in her hammock, sipping sparkling water, or talking on the phone. And she now uses her passions for writing and coaching. This is Amber Leah, the co-author to Triggers and Parenting Scripts with Wendy Speak. Episode 40 is with Wendy, and we talked about triggers. And now this is her co-author today. And so if you are a mom, this is a great conversation. So I think you are, if you're listening. I know you will be wanting to grab these books when you are done listening to this, so you can find those links in the show notes. Also, share this episode with your mom friends. It takes a village, right? So if you hear something that you know a mom friend needs to hear, just simply copy the link and share it with them through text or on a message, whatever. Share it verbally, but then you know they're going to forget. So share it through a text or something, an easy way for them to click on and listen and hear that nugget of information that they need, that encouragement that they need. Guys, this is packed full today. It is so good. I cannot wait for you to hear this and to hear how much you loved it. Okay, here's my conversation with Amber. Mama, you didn't know you could yell at your precious two-year-old. You feel so guilty and like you're doing the worst job at mothering. You feel like you're failing, and you're failing your kids and yourself and your spouse, and you just aren't a good enough mom. You also feel that if you just had a little more time, a little more patience, a little more energy, oh, and a lot more sleep, you would be better. I know this because this was me not that long ago. I felt I should be a better mom because my kids only get one. It's me. But there was so much pressure from the culture around me to do better, to be better, and in myself. And this pressure kept building to the point where I almost snapped. I need you to hear me that these are lies the enemy wants you to believe. But until you pull up the roots of these lies, they will continue to be what you operate under. And you will continue to feel this way. I want you to live and walk and mother in God's truth. Surviving by treading water and being exhausted all the time isn't how motherhood is supposed to be. The gift of a child or children is your time to thrive and shine. If you are saying yes and amen to that, won't you join me in this life-changing step? I want you to go right now to bit.ly/ShanWright, ShanWright. We are going to do this together. I'm going to hold your hand and we're going to overcome these lies, dig up roots, and plant beautiful flowers of truth that have strong roots. You are going to blossom into a beautiful, vibrant mother. You ready? Let's go. Hey mama, are you stressed by the lack of time in the day to do all the things? Are you feeling disconnected from God, your husband, and even your kids because patience and presence seem out of reach? Do you want a healthier body, mind, spirit, and home, but overwhelmed in where to start? Hey, I'm Shan Wright, daughter of the king, wife, mom to four, RN, wellness coach, and I know very well what it feels like to want to live well, but about to lose it with my very blessed full life. After realizing I can't pour from an empty cup, I tracked my way to whole body wellness and so much peace. If you are ready to cancel the stressed out life, learn tactical, intentional strategies as a mom wearing many hats, find more peace, confidence, and joy raising kingdom kids, then listen in. Come on, mama, together we got this. Really, God's got this. So go heat up that coffee again and turn your listening ears on. Let's chat. Okay, guys, welcome back to Holistic Moms. I am so excited. I have the honor to talk to the co-author that we already talked to for Triggers. Her co-author, Amber Leah, is on the podcast today. So Amber, thanks so much.
Oh my goodness, Shannon, thank you for inviting me. I am delighted. I've been looking forward to this day.
Oh, well, that makes me so happy. I feel like I just am super special getting to talk to you and Wendy. I know this is going to be a great conversation because how much these books have meant to me. So can you just share with us a little bit? I already bio'd you to everyone, but just share a little bit about your family and your kids, since that's what we're going to be talking about.
Sure. Well, you know, when I started my family, I thought I was going to be the most amazing mom ever because I had been a teacher for about 10 years and loved kids. But it's so different when suddenly they're your own and you're up late at night and you've had no sleep and then everything changes. But yes, I am a mom of four boys. I call my house a testoster home. And it is, you know, there are like boys who are cool, calm, and collected. Those are not my boys. My boys are the ones who are jumping off the roof and playing all the sports. So they range in age right now from 7 to almost 17.
Oh, wow.
And yes, so we have a driver in the house. That's a whole new situation. But we love the outdoors. We just moved from Southern California to Southern Tennessee. We live in the Chattanooga area. We've been here about a year and a half. And my husband and I have worked in the entertainment industry for a long time. And we do dabble in a lot of other, you know, entrepreneurial things. But we just love our family. We love the Lord. And we love being an encouragement to families. And for me, my heart, especially for moms, because, man, this is a hard job, but so blessed and such a good one. And I'm really thankful that God transformed me from, you know, kind of a mess, an angry, frustrated mom who raised her voice more often than she wanted to, and has truly transformed me into a much more gentle mom. And I am so thankful for moms like you, Shannon, that are encouraging women in these areas. And we've all got to link arms. So thank you for having me on today.
Yes, of course. And yeah, it's a refiner's fire, right? It is so, you just don't expect that at first. And then you realize it's all really more about changing your heart than theirs. And yeah, I'm so excited to give these conversations to other moms out there so that we can, like you said, link arms and know that this is not something we're doing alone, and we need the Lord's strength. And we also need people to come alongside of us and say, hey, this is what happened to me. This is what I did. And, you know, you can take this tool and use it too. So, I love your books are literally tools in my toolbox. And I love that.
Thank you.
So I once heard about triggers and parenting scripts in a MOPS video. We were sitting in MOPS when I had toddler and infant. And I heard Wendy say, who if they already heard her episode 40, but they already heard that. And you can hear she's just soft spoken. And so I didn't know her at the time I see her on this video. And she's like soft spoken, gentle natured. And she said how she yelled and she didn't know she could be angry until she had kids. And I was like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, I know I do that, but I'm not as gentle and soft spoken as she. Like, wow. Okay. So I definitely took to your books right then because I was like, I am that. I am that angry mom that I did not know I could be angry. But so I've been using them for years. Well, this year, I sent my daughter off on the school bus in tears. And we've we were struggling with her for a few months. And well, actually, most of her life, sadly, she is the one that really refines me, challenges me in all the good ways. And I learn a lot from her. And so she was, I sent her off in tears and I ran right inside to my prayer chair. And I was like, I prayed. But then the next thing that I did was grab parenting scripts, because I said, what we are saying is not working for her right now. So I started flagging all this stuff. And then I ended up just messaging Wendy out of the blue. And now here we are talking to you. So I know all of this is like so crazy for me, because like I said, your books are tools for me and I use them. And I can't say that about many books. I usually like to read a lot of books, but I don't implement them very well. But these are so easy to implement and to take, and to take the actual scripts and use them. And so that is why I go back to them all the time. So
I mean,
here we are talking to you. This is so cool. So, but can you share how, they already heard about triggers, but then can you share how parenting scripts came about? Because it was after triggers, right?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, Wendy and I knew that, with triggers, we had done a really good work in helping moms understand, and dads too. A lot of dads read our materials.
They're sent this to my husband for sure.
Oh, good. Yeah, exactly. Well, and I think a lot of them tend to listen to like the audiobook, like while they're on their commute.
Yes.
I feel like that's like what most of the dads are doing. But we knew that that was instrumental in helping people understand first of all, destigmatizing this issue in general, of being a frustrated mom, saying things that we wish we didn't say. And we wanted to destigmatize it, open up the conversation and say, look, I'm a recovering angry mom. And we want to help you come to a place of confession and ownership, and then also what's next. And while there's a ton of practical stuff in triggers, Wendy and I were like, it's really helpful, like, to know exactly what do we say in those moments. And Wendy and I have figured out a lot of the things that don't work and a lot of the things that work. And we are very committed, both of us, to speaking words of life to our children. Mm-hmm. We know that it's ultimately the word of God that is living and active, and that it's not going to return void. And so we were like, we want to say the things that we say. We want them to be very much rooted in scripture. And we want to practice this over and over again. And then if it's helpful for others, we want to be able to pass it on. And so parenting scripts was born as sort of that next step in, okay, I'm working on the root of where I'm at in my anger and my frustration, but there's more work to be done. And what do I need to say in the heat of the moment? Like, I have a desire as a mom to say something that's going to be kind and patient, but when the moment's here and I'm triggered, and they're talking back to me, or the kids are fighting with each other, or no one wants to clean up the mess and they're all pointing fingers at somebody else, I don't know what to say in that moment that's going to A, help the kids do what I'd like them to do, and B, be a spiritual blessing that's going to point them to the Lord and point them to the Word of God in this at the same time. And so that's why we wrote parenting scripts. We wanted moms and dads to have another layer of tool, more tools in their toolbox, more things to be able to say, because if we can start with some of these scripts, then it's going to become more and more natural for you to create your own and to know what to say in those moments when you're feeling most frustrated with your children.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I love most about it, is how you create these scripts from scripture. And so it's always pointing them back to God, which is kind of, for me, it's been hard to do with the 3-year-old tantrum, to be like, how do I turn this around and point them to Jesus? Because right now they're just not making sense. And I don't know how to get down on their level as far as lingo goes, because right now I'm just mad. Like, it helped so much to point them to Jesus, which is what we want to do. We just, in the heat of the moment, don't know how.
Yeah, exactly. And like one of my favorites is, you know, my kids are always trying to blame shift or have this brother do this thing, or why can't someone else do it? Or I'm going to do it later, or whatever. And they kind of just butt heads with one another. And they're also competitive in all the wrong ways at times, right? Like, and so I will just tell them, look, you want to outdo one another in showing honor and brotherly affection. That's what scripture says, outdo one another. And so when they start arguing, I just say, well, how are we supposed to approach these kinds of situations? What do? You outdo, and what, and then they finish it. Like, we outdo one another in showing honor, right? Like, we're not just trying to outdo each other, like who can avoid this situation the fastest, or who can, get to the front of the line first or whatever. But why don't you start using that competitive spirit in a godly way, that you outdo one another in showing honor and brotherly affection? And so just sort of using the word of God and how it applies to what they're doing as children in the moment and with each other is, I think, life-changing.
Yes, you kind of have to know the word too in order to do that. And I love how you're saying, well, my kids are like this, and this seems to be a spot where we have some troubles and they argue. And so I'm going to find a scripture that goes with that. And then that is going to be what I use. And I'm going to first myself memorize and meditate on that scripture. And then it's going to come out into my words if I really know it myself. And then you teach it to them. So that is just like, that's what we're supposed to be doing. And it's just, it without, oh, I like this. Without a plan, we don't really do it. So I love the whole thing, the whole concept of this book of planning what you're going to say before you say it. And so, and I love like just planning in general. So like if you fail to plan, plan to fail kind of thing.
Absolutely.
And we want to succeed in mothering and parenting. So that's why I love that this concept of here's scripts. It's stuff that you can memorize and know so that you have a plan on what to say. Because if it's not even in your brain, it's not going to come out your words. Like it's just not there.
And there's 31 of them, like, that we include in the parenting scripts book. And so I always just tell people, like, what are your like one or two or three constant things in this season of parenting that you're in that you feel like a broken record, like, or there's certain things that you keep saying. And I just encourage everybody who's listening to think right now, like, what's the one phrase or word or thing that you say that you regret saying over and over again? And it's like, you can't stop yourself from saying it. And the reason is because we don't have a better plan. We haven't practiced. We haven't said, okay, in this situation, I'm going to start saying this. And in this situation, I'm going to start saying this. I'm going to stop saying these things, and I'm going to start saying these things instead. And then really practicing that, and looking at it as a teachable moment for us first as moms, which is the premise of everything that Wendy and I write about, is it always starts with us. And then from that overflow, right? Because out of the mouth is what's overflowing from the heart. And so we have to make sure it's hidden in our hearts first, and we're really owning that and letting God transform us. And then we're prepared in advance that this is what we're going to start saying and doing in that moment.
So that's part of what I already wanted to ask you or wanted you to point to as far as I have pulled scripts that I've loved. I guess in the more the toddler stage, I loved the one where it's very simple. Uh-oh, like,
So good.
uh-oh, and now I am in the sassy back talk stage. So it's more, can you try that again? Now I am still myself working and praying about the gentle, calm, authoritative tone that I say that in. But you kind of already pointed to this, like I said, but just maybe reiterate, how can one best utilize this book? Because you've given us these scripts, but you also have laid it out to where we can make our own.
And again, this is like a springboard for you, right? Like, these are common areas that we see after years and years and years and thousands of conversations with parents and our own children, that we feel like these are some of the most common. But they're really meant to be a creative springboard for you, a prayer point for you to consider, what is God putting on your heart to say to your child? Because they are all unique. And I will just say, Shannon, this is so important. With every single script, it's all about the posturing with which we present these scripts to our kids. So you can say something, and your body language and your tone of voice communicates a very, like, the true story, right? Like,
Yeah.
and so we have to be in that place where we're not so spent that there's nothing, righteous to pour out, because we're so empty spiritually. We can't pour out spiritually if we're empty spiritually.
Right.
And so this is a call to all of us to really be in that place where we are working on our relationship with the Lord, and we are learning what does the Bible say. And we aren't just applying those verses to other people or other circumstances, but we're really applying them to our children. When it talks about, do everything without grumbling or arguing in Philippians 2:14, it's like, well, I can grumble really easily when I'm talking to my child and complain and argue. And it says to do everything without that. Like, I'm not exempt just because my child is 3 and has been, on my nerves and I'm sleepless. I mean, the Lord is gracious. He is compassionate. He is understanding to us in those moments. But I don't want to settle for status quo. I want to grow in my relationship with my kids and with the Lord. And so I need to examine my own heart, and then I need to be careful of my tone of voice and my body language. So even that, uh-oh, like for my teenagers now, it's kind of like, would you like to try that again? Like, how could you say that differently to me? And I just say it in a very kind of calm, curious, I could easily come out in anger, like, you want to say that differently to me, son? Or I could come and I could put my hand on him gently and I could say, do you think you could say that differently to me? They immediately soften, right? Like, I can come authoritatively and in anger, or I could come with compassion, because how many times have I done the same thing? Like, I know I've been there. I've not been any different from them. And it's really key. I think Triggers lays this out. I talk about this early on in the chapter, that we're so used to taking things personally that our kids do. And it's not really a sin against us, it's a sin against God. And so I can just grieve that the enemy is messing with them right now and be like, man, the enemy is really messing with them. They're really committed to talking back to me. And that is sin. And they're giving into that temptation. And where's my compassion and my empathy? Like, Father, forgive him, for he doesn't know what he's doing. And so, could I come to him gently and say, hey, would you just remind him who he is? Sometimes I'll even say that to my kids, like, this doesn't sound like you, because I know you really love me and I know that you want to talk to me with respect. So could we try that again? Just giving them that benefit of the doubt. Man, how lovely is it when someone shows you love and compassion and grace right in the middle of the moment when you know they should be angry with you and give you a piece of their mind and you don't? How much of an example of Jesus is that to my child? I'm not letting them off the hook, but I don't have to match their sin with my own. Their sin does not give me a right to yield to my own.
Oh, that's so good. So many things popping in my head. But one is that I love how you talk all throughout the book about life-giving words and speaking who they are out to them and saying, this doesn't sound like you because you are this. I know you are this. I actually want to read to you something that you wrote in on page 27. We can do a lot of good for our children by believing the best of them, speaking about the actions and attitudes we want to see more of than what we don't see, and breathing life into their hearts. And I
Yes.
love that so much. I also love it for the fact that in that sentence, it is recognizing that these kids are not ours. They are God's, and we are being stewards as mothers to raise them. And when you recognize that and you really know that, it's going to come out in these life-giving words, because you're like, wow, you are God's amazing kid. He made you like this and this. That's just really recognizing who the owner is, and that you are just doing your job as mom because you are a servant of God. So, yeah, let's speak to how you do that practically, how you speak life-giving words and breathe life over them.
Totally. This is one of my favorite things, because painting a picture of who they really are and who they can become is far more effective a tool than our disappointment. So, shaping their world by words that are like, why can't you ever? Why don't you stop doing this? You know, your brother never does this. Like, or I've told you 1,000 times and you just don't seem to get it. When are you ever going to learn? Like that kind of stuff. It is totally defeating and it is discouraging to them. And instead, we want to be filled with hope and life-giving words and painting a picture of who they really are and what they, and so I will often tell them, like, let's say I've given them a loving, appropriate consequence and they're sad and they're crying about it. And sometimes that will be a new trigger, right? For some of us, we've given a consequence, the kid doesn't like it, and now we're triggered again because they're not accepting it and they're maybe doing something else now that they shouldn't be doing because they're upset that they're experiencing a consequence. And so now we've got this opportunity, which, you know, every trigger is an opportunity, for us to say, okay, I'm going to demonstrate, I'm going to show them empathy. And I will often say when I'm giving them a discipline, oh, I know this is sad. Of course, you're going to cry. And I know this is painful. I know that this is, you know, painful for you to not be able to go play with your friends today like you planned on doing. And instead, we're going to, you know, do this other thing at home together. But I can't wait to see how you'll be, you know, handle this differently next time. I know that you're the kind of kid that when I ask you to do this thing, that you're going to do it. And I'm really excited to see you make a different choice next time, a better choice next time. Like I'm already setting them up for that next time, but it's also very healing. It's very healing for my child to know that their mom does believe the best about them, that she knows that I have great potential and that this doesn't define and characterize me. I mean, who here wants to be defined and characterized by our sin or our mistakes or just our immaturity? Not everything is a sin issue. Sometimes it's a maturity issue. Sometimes it's a nap issue for me. You know,
Yeah,
not just my
right.
child, like mama needs a nap. So, you know, we have to be, I think, very focused on empathy, grace, and painting a picture of always what we expect and what we want and what we know they're going to do. I'll even set them up with like a double whammy. I'll say, okay, you can take the keys to my car and you can take the car out and you can go do this. And, you know, when you do that and you come back and the car's clean, because I know you're going to do that, right? Like they may not have even thought about that, but I just plant the seed. I know you're going to be the kind of kid that when you come back, you'll have all your trash out. And I want to thank you in advance. And I bet that if you do that consistently, there's going to be some awesome other perks for you because you'll have shown me that I can trust you as a growing adult. And I can't wait to see that happen. Bye. Have a good time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But that takes planning, right?
It
To know that
does.
you're going to do that. Because otherwise, you guys are all rushing around. They're grabbing the keys. Mom, can I go here? And they're leaving. And it's like, oh, they leave. And they're like, man, I wish I had spoke life into them before they left.
Well, I'll tell you, Shannon, at first it takes planning. But what happens is we become transformed. And when you become transformed, you're not the same person you were. You are going to become a gentle biblical mom who looks for opportunities to breathe life into her children. And because you are in the Word of God, hopefully, little by little, learning verses that speak to different issues that you might be struggling with or that you need guidance and wisdom on in your parenting, it's going to start flowing. The Holy
Yeah.
Spirit, like Wendy and I didn't just come up with any of this on our own. It was the Holy Spirit guiding us and directing us. I pray every day that the Lord will give me great wisdom. I know nobody will be as wise as Solomon, but in my logic, I'm thinking someone's got to be second. And so I'm like, Lord, could I be second? Could I be second as wise as Solomon when it comes to my parenting? Would you give that to me? I'm praying that all the time. I don't feel like I've achieved it, but I pray it. But he does, he transforms us. And then
Yes.
the Holy Spirit starts doing his thing. And then we are that mom, and we'll be like, those words will come out of our mouth in the spur of the moment. If the sinful, angry, fleshly words can come out without us thinking about it, why can't the life-giving, God-centered, beautiful words come out of our mouths in the
Yeah.
spur of the moment? They will, but we do need to practice it and we do need to pray for it. But don't ever question that it will happen.
Right. Holy Spirit will Help us. Okay, so speaking on us being transformed, we talk a lot about emotional and mental and spiritual wellness on this podcast. And because I myself am prone to anxiety and prone to emotional responses, and then I have children that are a lot like me. And so, but I have to know my triggers. I have to know how I can transform and what I need to work on. And God, show me my heart. Where do you want to clean things up so that I can speak from my heart and speak, in the moment is wise and caring and empathetic. That's a huge thing. So can you talk a little bit more about what we can do to know ourselves better? I think you, I don't know if you said this somewhere in the book or I wrote it as a note, but we have to know ourselves better so that we can parent better. So what can we do
Oh
to know
man.
ourselves better?
Absolutely. Well, I think this is why community is so important, that we have people in our lives, whether it's friends or other moms in mom groups or, being involved at church in a small group. And I will just say straight up that very infrequently in my life have I been invited into things, like something set up for me. Ideally, I get to join it and I'm blessed by it. I typically go, gosh, this would help me. Where are you? You Bueller, like no one's there, no, nothing's there. And then I have to be like, and my good friend Sally Clarkson, who I love and adore, taught me this a long time ago that, you have to just create this stuff for yourself. If you want that little mom's group where you could do that, then go start inviting people and you spearhead it. And I'm literally doing that right now. There's not a small group at our church that's like the great timing and whatever we need. So Guy and I are like, all right, let's talk to the church. We'll just go ahead and host it again, which is fine. We don't feel resentful about that. But we need families in our lives to help us be iron sharpening iron. So let's create a space for that. But I think in general, Shannon, really having some room for margin to just be still. It's hard to do as a busy mom, but to create white space where there's nothing going on so that we can have time to just think and let the Holy Spirit talk to us. That's why so many of us get great ideas or have really effective prayer time in the shower, because it's like one of the few times when there's nothing disturbing us or distracting us. And you'll appreciate this too, Shannon. Oh man, I hope that all these moms that are just running ragged right now will really take this to heart. Please take time for caring for yourself, for self-care. Get at least 7 hours of sleep at night. I know that's really hard with littles, even if it means taking a nap when they're taking a nap. I know it's wanting, you want to get things done when they're napping, but some of the most best work you could do is sleeping. And then, I became a health coach too, not too long ago. And my book, Food Triggers, is my most recent book because I realized as a mom, when I was eating junk, it was a temporary pleasure, but it ruined me in the long term. When my blood sugar was crashing and I had a cortisol dopamine loop going in my body because I was addicted to sugar. And then Wendy and I, she's got her sugar fast, but we know the connection between, healing nutrition and the way we react and respond in our emotions is key. So I had to do some deep work to really, I mean, I lost 95 pounds. It's been 5 years I've kept that 95 pounds off. It changed my life. And that was a key part of my journey in this stage of my parenting too. I'm a much better mom because I'm not, having that sugar crash and all that addiction. I'm getting proper sleep. I'm drinking enough water. Like, you're gonna find out what your issues are, but a lot of us already know. We just don't feel like we have the tools or the time or the space to do what we need to do, but there is plenty of time to do all the things that matter most. We just have to start prioritizing ourselves in the busy season of motherhood because no one's going to do it for us.
I mean, I talk about this all the time, but I love that you just talked about it because they need to hear, everyone needs to hear it in a different way. And that's what I help. What I like to do is make it simple. Like, here's a simple thing that you can do to take care of yourself so you can be intentional in your motherhood, so you can care well for them, because that's what I know you want to do. But you first have to, let's just simply, here's a simple solution that you can do for yourself first. Yeah, I
Yes.
love that. And I love how you spoke to, yeah, even the physical wellness aspect of it, and that it's all linked together. We are all
It's
just one holistic human being.
right. Mind, body, spirit, we're not separate. So what you do physically to your body is going to affect your emotions. It's going to give you either greater bandwidth or a short, stem to react instead of doing the responses we want. It's much harder to do that when we're not well rested, when we don't have good nutrition, when we're not working on our own mental health stuff that's going on, when we feel lonely and we aren't making time for our friendships and a girls' night out here and there, or at least going on a walk with another mom pushing the stroller. Like, it is so important and critical. And you guys, you have permission to do those things.
Yes, and amen. Okay, so you've kind of mentioned food triggers, but can you just, I think there's another one you've written too. Can you talk more about your other, briefly about your other books that you've written based on this whole thing about triggers and responses and reactions?
So my husband and I wrote Marriage Triggers together, and that was largely a book. Well, that was a book I did not want to write. I think Wendy and I don't ever want to really write any of the books we write because they come from very deep personal struggles, and we know the enemy is going to be like on the attack as soon as we start diving into these things, but we feel so compelled to do so. And Marriage Triggers for sure was one of those books because we had struggled, my husband Guy and I, quite a bit in our marriage. And we when Wendy and I would travel and we would speak at different groups and do different things, we heard from people all the time. They would say, "Are you going to write a Marriage Triggers book? Because this book, Parenting Triggers, is helping a lot in my marriage, but I would love one that's real specific toward that." And so Guy and I prayed about it. We resisted it. I resisted it for a long time, for years and years. And then finally, I just felt like it was the right time, and just that Holy Spirit compelling, like, you need to write this book. And so Guy and I wrote it together, and it covers 31 of the more common struggles that people go through in their marriages, both internally and externally. And I think it's as much as triggers and parenting triggers was an anointed process for us. I really believe that about marriage triggers and food triggers too. But these are just all the things that through my life have been different chapters of struggle and transformation. And I want to be able to pass that on to other people. God did an amazing thing in our marriage. He continues to do an amazing thing in our marriage. And the food triggers, man, that was so necessary for me. Because I think we miss the connection, and you get this because you are that holistic mindset of how much the things that we do physically, and our health physically impacts all these other areas of our lives. They are absolutely intertwined. If we can't get to a place where we have self-control in all these areas, right, where we're utilizing the self-control that God's already given to us, then it's going to affect every area, what we eat, how we respond to our spouses, certainly how we interact with our kids. It's all connected. So for me, this has just been an ongoing journey, and each of these books is how God has transformed me and is still transforming me in each of these areas.
Yeah, that has been my story as well, as far as like getting healthy physically. I had to work on anxiety, and it was the catalyst was pregnancy. And it was like, oh, this is something you really need to work on because you can't take care of this infant and the other three kids at the t like right now. So I was able to work on it, but it was so God gave me four very simple solutions, and one was just to move my body. And I just had to move my body every day. I didn't have to go to the gym. I didn't have to like work out like crazy, but I had to recognize that physical, mental connection and just do the simple thing, step forward to take care of that. So what food triggers? Is that another 31
It
triggers?
is. It's 31 of the most common triggers that people face, both internal and external. So, covering everything from, eating out of loneliness. I mean, honestly, a lot of our health issues are because of emotional mismanagement. It's really not about the food itself. It's about the root that's causing us to overeat or to eat out of stress or to be addicted to sugar. or to undereat, right? So it's really diving into what are the roots of those, and then how do we, if we are making changes in our health, how do we make the most of that in our relationship with the Lord along the way? And there are so many parallels. Right now, I feel like I'm in this season, and I've had about 4,000 or so clients that I've helped get healthy over the last several years. And so that book really stems from just extensive years of, again, conversations and experience, and dealing with those root issues. But also, I'm telling you, Shannon, we are missing out. We don't realize the blessings of obedience that we miss out on when we don't steward our temples well. I never felt God condemning me, like, shame on you, Amber. You're morbidly obese. You'd been a healthy adult. I was a recreational bodybuilder. I knew what to do. I just went spiraling and I had 95 pounds to lose. And I never felt God shaming me or condemning me, but I felt this very clear sense that I was missing out on the blessings of obedience. And I didn't want to miss out on those blessings anymore. And so that was like my main, the root thing. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I know that I'm missing out on the blessings that are mine by being healthy. And so found a simple plan, jumped on. I agree with you. Healthy motion every day, so important for mental health, stress management. That's why I do it, not to lose weight. It just helps me emotionally. But yes, that health journey is key to so many areas of our lives.
Obedience is a big thing in my story as well. While I'm on this podcast, because I was praying about something and it was my prayer for a long time. And God's answer was, obey me. What did I ask you to do? Obey. And it didn't seem connected to me, but it was completely connected. And because God knows best, He knows. And I say obedience precedes the miracle. So if you're praying for a miracle, if you're wanting something, what was God asking you to do? Maybe it was a little whisper and you didn't think it was related and it seemed like no big deal, but maybe it is a small thing that God's asking you to do. Just do that small thing. Maybe it is just, getting a gym membership and going, and that's the little obedience He's asking you to do to transform a whole other part of your life. Like,
That's right.
it doesn't matter what it is. If God asks you to do it, we gotta do it.
That's right. So
Oh, I
agree
love
with you,
that.
Shannon. Absolutely. And that kind of circles back to the parenting piece of why I really believe in gentle biblical parenting and these parenting scripts, because as often as I strayed, as often as I was sinful myself, my whole life, I felt God's loving kindness drawing me to him. And it's our loving kindness that's going to draw our children to us. That's what's going to preserve our relationships. And you know what, you guys, I'll just warn you, it takes longer. It takes longer. And I say in triggers, but I say, I don't ever want to make decisions because of my fears or my peers. I don't want to make parenting decisions or say things because I'm afraid of what's going to happen or not happen, or because I'm feeling peer pressure because people are watching, or my in-laws will think this or that or whatever. I just want to make decisions rooted and confident in what God is putting on my heart to do. And everybody else can, do whatever they're going to do, think whatever they're going to think. That's got nothing to do with me. What I want to do is be confident and stalwart in replicating the loving kindness of my Heavenly Father to me, who is very patient and long-suffering, who bears with me and gives me a ton of grace. And so I think that remembering that in all these areas of our lives is a really comforting place and perspective to live by.
Yes, we talked about that verse in 1 Corinthians 13 with Wendy on, and just the description of love, and that is God, and that is how He loves us. And then if we have a relationship with Him and we are wanting to be like Jesus, then we can show that same love. She actually challenged all of us. I'm not sure, listeners, if any of you did it, but if you didn't, you can just do it now. She challenged us to meditate on that verse and to write it out and then to put it different places in your house, because this all comes back to love and how we want to love our children well. We do love them. We say that, but are we really loving them with the love that God loves us with? Because we want to be a biblical parent. We want to be someone who parents out of God's love. That's what it stems from. So that's a way that you can do it, is really meditate on that verse, write it over and over and post it different places and just have it. Mine's on my pantry. I think it's been there for
Love
a
it.
while, but it's a good place. It's a good place for it to be because I'm always getting snacks for them.
Yeah, I saw you post that. I saw you in your reel, and it was so great. And you know, I think that is the key. And I'll just say, for anybody that has multiple kids, I have each of my kids is like me in some way, but I have one that's a lot like me. And that can be good and bad. And then I have one or two where I'm like, I don't understand you at all, almost ever. And so also praying through with scripture, like, Lord, give me an appreciation for how unique each of my children is,
Yeah.
and help me to love those differences about them, because we're kind of drawn to the things that are similar about us and our kids, and to ask the Lord to actually awaken in you a love for their unique personality, for the different way that they handle problems than the way that you do, you know, for the all the little idiosyncrasies that make them unique. And I love Psalm 139 is my absolute favorite chapter in the Bible. I've meditated on it over and over and over again my whole life. And just that knowledge that we are exactly the moms for the job, and our kids are exactly the kids we're supposed to have, and that God so faithfully knit them together in their mother's womb. Whether they come to us biologically or not, they are ours, and they are designed uniquely and perfectly and beautifully with their personality, the way they look, everything about them. And so we have that very high privilege and honor to raise them up and to steward them and to point them to the Lord. And they're not going to be just like us, but we want them to be just like Jesus. And so we have to not get those two things confused, and instead just love them where they're at and ask the Lord to open up and awaken in us an appreciation for their uniqueness and to love them well.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. Okay, well, we could literally talk to you all day, but I don't want to take your whole day. So, how can people connect with you?
Okay, so I'm on Instagram, The Real Amber Leah, as well as on Facebook. And they can connect with me on my website, which is just amberleah.com.
Okay.
And I have, it's really easy on my homepage. They can easily click into my books and resources there, as well as stuff on marriage. There's free resources, there's like screensavers and things like that. So all the different areas, health and wellness, physical health and wellness, you know, marriage health and wellness, and then parenting stuff. And that's the best place to go, is just straight to my website. But yeah, it's been
Okay.
such a awesome opportunity to talk with you, Shannon. We are definitely kindred spirits.
Yes, I know. I have, like, every time I read one of your chapters, I'm like, yep, that sounds like me. So, I love that we got to have this conversation. And like I said, we could talk for a long time because we are so much alike and I could learn so much from you. It's been so helpful. I know everyone was blessed by this. So be sure you connect with Amber. Tell her thank you for being on the podcast today. And your website is awesome. I was there earlier and there's so many good resources there. So be sure to
Thank you.
check that out. I'll also put the link in the show notes. And thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Shannon. God bless you. You're doing amazing things, and I hope your listeners share this podcast and all your podcasts with their friends and family. It's definitely one of the better ones out there. So,
Oh,
thank you.
that's so sweet. Thank you so much. Hey, Wellness Warrior, I pray that blessed you. And if so, it would bless me big if you would write a 5-star review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Not only would this make me super happy, but it will allow for others to find this show too. Also, I love to chat over on Instagram, so make sure to take a screenshot, share to your Instagram stories, and tag me @theshanwright so I can see it and we can keep chatting and bring other moms to chat with us. Until we get to chat again, mama friend, may the Lord's face shine upon you and give you peace.